What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, going down to Grambling, Louisiana. Talk to Coach Mickey Joseph with those Tigers of the Grambling State down there. Coach, what's up, brother? I know he's about that time of year for his first, about ready to get going here this week.
No, we the coaches got back today, and so we're gonna work on this afternoon, work on scripts and work on our individual plans and get ready for the kids. The kids will be back on Thursday.
And Coach Maskey, man, how was a spring ball for you guys? Kind of getting a feel for what you had, and kind of seeing what you got. Then in some workouts they got their break. So how was this offseason ball been for you guys so far?
Well, it's pretty good because we 62% of this roster is going on the third year with us, and I always say that because it's totally ironic during these times of the transfer portal that you can keep all your kids. But, since I've been here, we don't had, 9 one-score losses. So we had to figure out, look at those 9 one-score losses and say, okay, what we can have done better in 4 minutes. When the defense get on the field, it ain't 2 minutes. So guess what? We in the spring, we made sure that we did a lot of 4 minutes and a lot of too many drives just to make sure that the kids was in that situation so they know this is what we need to do. Even if your coach forget, you should remember what you need to do because we put you in that situation. So we just try to get better in that aspect of the football game and continue to develop the quarterback position. And we feel good about that with Jacoby Robinson, Ashton Fry, and, RJ came in. So we good with those guys. And then Hayden Benoit, who ended the year last year, he's back also. And a kid, Skylar Turbo from Oklahoma City, is a really good kid who I think he's the talented one. I think he's the one that, he's 6'2", 190. He's built like Michael Vick, got an arm like Michael Vick, but he's the talented one, but he's young. So, you got to, When you do plan, they're going to take him anyway. So, and we understand that. His family understands that. But we feel good about that position. And when you feel good about that position, I think you can have a decent football team.
When people know what's coming, they know it's about execution. They know what's coming. So talk about the piece of coach having your team execute, despite defense low in the box, knowing what's coming, and still be able to make the right blocks, whether it be a combo block, inside zone, split zone, whatever you're running, just execution to have that play to get those yards, get that clock going for you.
Well, that's the big thing is executing. And I think the easiest way to do it on offense is the way we did it at Nebraska, just hand the football off and put it in the belly of the running back and make sure that we get the hat on the hat. And we execute in the RPO game, and when it's time to throw it, we throw when we want to. And on defense, hey, play good defense like we've been doing. You know, but we got to rest these guys up. They've been playing. They played a lot of minutes since I've been here. The defense have. So we're going to try to get away from just throwing it around the park and try to say, let's take on run blocks instead of taking off a minute 30 on the clock, try to take up 3 minutes and 30 seconds with running the ball. So we had to change the philosophy that I really like, and I like putting it in the air. But right now I got to do what's best for this football team. And the best thing for this football team, because we're defensive led, is to hold them on the bench and let them rest up and run this football with these six backs that we have.
No doubt, good coach. You know, as I'm trying to tell these young men who are running backs, you know, you might get 3 yards in the first quarter, but in the fourth quarter it becomes 7, 8, 9, 20, because you keep pounding on them, they go and break. They only got so much gas in that tank. And so you keep hitting them with that, you eventually get the break you need.
Yes, and I think that's you're correct about that. If you keep leaning on them, and you keep leaning on them, and if you keep leaning on them, then guess what? Sooner or later, they're going to break. You know, sooner or later, they're going to break. Sooner or later, they're going to break. So that's what we have to eventually come to our thoughts and say, okay, this is best for this football team. And we're going to play good special teams. We know that. But we want to play good offense. We want to have a good running game.
And, Coach, talk about how important it is to have your receivers engage in the running game. Some way it's not just a playoff. They actually are blocking, cracking, cutting what they have to. So actually been a part of their run game. So you can down the road, when they creep up, load the box, pop them.
Yeah, and we do. We have a lot of stuff built in when we want to run routes, and we also have stuff built in when we want them to block. But, you know, the big thing, like tell them as a receiver, if you're a dude, you won't have to never block this dude, because wherever you take this dude's going to go, because the defensive back guys is programmed to follow the guy that he has if he has a man. If he has in zone, then he's going to his zone. But if you're a dude, he's going to follow you and locate you. You always can take a safety out, and we always want to give you some vertical push by our receivers, because now you don't know if they're blocking or you don't know if they're running RPO. So we mix it up pretty good. Reggie Moore does a really good job with our receivers, so we just got to continue to keep pushing them forward. We're happy with Tyson George coming back. We got Bam over from Atlanta. You know, Bam's a big-time player for us, and he can do it all. And we have some new guys coming in also, like Tavius Murphy, you know, Cody Finley, and, Robo, you know, Dylan Roboski, our one kid that we got from Langston. So we feel good about the receivers also, but we feel better about the offensive line.
No doubt. That line's so important, Coach Joseph, because if you can't block, you can't get nothing done no way. So talk about your line coach and really scheming these guys up, teaching them the right things and how to block and how to right pass pro, run block, and kind of just be ready for whatever, and also be able to identify man zone and who's coming, who's not, based on film work and study.
Well, the thing about it is that one thing they can do in this league is rush the passer. So now we want to see if you can take on run blocks. Coach Losi's gone in the second season with this group. This group's going to be a well-improved group, because they stay second year with him. They understand exactly what he wants. He's a technician. He wants everything to be he's technique sound. And we want to make sure we get a hat on a hat. And once we get a hat on a hat, then we're going to leave it up to the backs. As far as pass blocking, we're going to help him out much as we have to. Like I tell him all the time, it's no secret. Your best pass rusher is going to get chipped. He's going to get hit in his ribs, and I want to see how many times he wants to rush getting hit in his ribs, because that's not a fun thing to do. So we're going to make sure we slow things down. When we're not going to let you just rush off the passer and have the pride and say, no, we're going to block him one-on-one. If we can't block him one-on-one, we're going to get the kid some help. But other than that, we're going to make him take on run blocks and make him see how tough they are.
No doubt. And, you know, with the games these linemen play, Coach Joseph, you know, try to get those heavy sides, get that 3-on-1, you know, kind of run those TE stunts and stuff. Talk about trying to get your young men to really lock in on the games linemen play on the defensive side of the ball. Because when you go around heavy, you know, you try to get 3-on-1 and run them stunts, man. Some linemen get confused, as you and I both know.
Well, you know, when we do get line stunts, we collect them as they come. And the worst thing is the defense, a three technique, you know, moving over from the B gap to the A gap, and somebody hit air hole him one good time because he can't see him coming. So one thing about movement up front, we want movement up front because we're going to zone that anyway. And we're just going to collect them as we get to them. And like I said, try to collect the hat on a hat and let the back do the rest. But our defensive line do a great job of movement. So our offensive line see it all the time. And they spend about 25, 30 minutes a day at practice just on movement, just on one-on-one blocking, pass one-on-one, pass blocks, movement on the twist, and like you say, the TE stunts, you know, with the passing. So we spend a lot of time on that with the offensive line and the D-line. And Coach Zachary and Coach Varner, they do a good job with the D-line with working with Coach Losey.
And you know what, Coach Joseph, you know, with the coach talent and the swag with yourself and other coaches, I feel like it's just a shame that our boys have to go the undrafted free agent route. They can't get drafted straight out because it's so much talented coaches in the swag, so much talent on these rosters, and they've been coached up very, very well. Talk about you all as a coaching collective trying to figure out how to get these young men drafted. Well, they have to go the hard way, which is no problem, but the undrafted free agent round, but maybe get one over 12 at least drafted in the fifth through seventh rounds, maybe.
Well, you hear straight from the NFL. You know, if they end with us, sometimes, you know, they don't think that they're really good players. And you might get a kid who just say, hey, I want to show loyalty. And I want to stay at the HBCUs. But they offer them so much money that we can't compete with it. But I tell kids all the time, you know, while you're chasing that bag, make sure you're not missing out on the right fit. Because the bag might be there, but the right fit might not be there. You might get a coach that don't care two things about you, but he's giving you the money. So do you really want to be there when you left a place like Grambling where they care about your well-being and how you and what you're doing every day and that you're doing things the right way instead of just paying you, saying, hey, we're just going to pay you to come here to be a backup. And the kids leaving this conference got to understand that. Don't leave this conference to go be a second and a third string guy. If you leave this conference, go be a first string. But they're paying them. They're paying them $250,000, $400,000, $500,000. So kids are chasing that bag because you're talking to 18 and 19-year-olds and oldest that's 21. But we do a good job in the swag. They can say what they want. We the developers now. We're not the recruiters anymore. Because before we was the recruiters, they're the recruiters now. Because now what they're doing, they're recruiting, but they're recruiting with money. They're not recruiting the old school way when you had to recruit with relationships. So now we're developing the kids and you come and get our kids. I'm good with that because I think as HBCU coaches, we always had to develop kids. Because we don't get the bright, we don't get the polished talent like I got at LSU, like I got at Nebraska, like I got at Tech, you know? But now we're doing the developing, and what they're doing, they come and get our kids, and we can't do anything about it because the kids are benefit. But think about it. The kids benefit, the school benefit. The only one left out there is the HBCU with nothing. We don't pay this kid all. We put the little money we do have, we don't pay him. Then when he leaves me, I get nothing to show for it but just that I'm developing kids to go somewhere else. But that's why I don't give them a whole bunch of money, and I pay them when I want to. Because my thing is, you got to want to be at Grambling, not because of money. You got to want to be here because that's life in general. You're not going to work for AT&T because they pay you more money. You're going to stay at T-Mobile because T-Mobile is a place got beautiful people in the building. They care about you. Go to AT&T, you're just a last four digit of Social Security. I went to one of those schools, you know, where I was 3097. You know, they didn't know my name. But at Grambling, we know those kids' names. I know those kids' parents' names. I know where they're from. I know what makes them tick. I know what they like to eat, you know? But at this other school, they got to understand when they leave us, they're not going to get that. Because it's really a business for them over there. It's not a HBCU business. We're about developing players, developing kids, regular students. And at Grambling, it's a place where everybody's somebody. And everybody can't say that.
No doubt, Coach. I give you an example. Being Tennessee State, going over to Vanderbilt, it's a difference how they treat it. Tennessee State, a lot of people knew my name. They never knew who I was. But the Vanderbilt players, like, you just a regular old dude, go to Vanderbilt. We're three miles away, but it's a family environment that they look down upon Tennessee State in Nashville. But yes. Overall, that's a family environment. Vanderbilt says you're just a person.
Yeah, we tell our kids all the time, you know, sometimes you got to look in the mirror and identify what you see in the mirror. So they might identify with me, then they might not identify with some coaches, other coaches. But the other coach, you know, he's playing, he's in the game. He's got the money. They don't want to leave. Like, the big thing is this with the HBCUs, and I'm sure everybody's going through it. See, when they're done at those schools over there, they transfer all the hours back to Grambling and graduate from Grambling. Make that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we got to do something. We got to do something to put our chips together and say, hey, HBCUs, this is what we're going to give them. You don't have no more than I have. Because at the end of the day, we all losing good players. Because when I lose a player to the portal, it's a starter. It's not a backup. You know, if say Ohio State or LSU lose a kid to the portal, well, it might be a backup. But when I lose them, and I've lost 15 of them since I've been here, they're all starters. They're all over. You know, New Mexico State, Old Dominion, Ole Miss, they're all over. You know, and it's nothing we can do about it but stay in the game with them and try to do right by them when they're here with us.
No doubt, 100%, Coach. And I'll see you playing Clark Atlanta here right in my backyard on August 29th. And you're going to be playing Central State. And then you go on the road to TCU. So talk about those three non-conference games, helping out the D2s in the SIEC, and going to get you all a little bit of back TCU over there in Fort Worth.
Well, you got to be careful with these D2s because, you know, I know Terry Sims personally. And I know Terry Sims going to have them boys ready to play. You know, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of unscouted looks. You know, we're going back and going to look and see, you know, what Terry did when he was at Bethune, what he did when he was at Alabama State, you know, because he was still involved. He was still called a DFO, but he was still the general man, whatever he was, but he was still involved with the X's and O's because you wouldn't have him there and not have him involved. So we respect Terry. We respect Ash Green, who played here at Grambling. He's the offensive coordinator. So, it's going to be a drag-out dogfight. Because it's the first game of the season, and that's the best thing about it is that we respect those guys. You know, we respect Central State. My kids are gonna respect because we had our hands full last year with Kentucky State. So what makes it any different? You know, because now we got to be prepared with unscouted looks. You got to let your rules take over. But it's a wonderful thing. And you know, going to TCU, we know what it is. It's a money game. It's a money game, and all HBCUs have to play them. So we excited about that game also. But right now we're going to work on ourselves for the next 2 weeks. And towards the middle of the month, we'll start getting ready for Clark Atlanta and then Central State shortly after that.
And Coach Joseph, let me ask you this, man, and for you, going into year three, talk about just the development of your program and your culture and how just getting these young men to see the visions you had when you came in 2 years ago, then going to year three here. So talk about just the support of the community as well and how they've been behind you as you develop this program, this culture here at Grambling.
Well, I take my hat off to my administration by giving me an extension and seeing my vision because, you know, I'm like anybody else that comes in as a head coach. You know, we want to win right away, not just for yourself. You want to win for the fans because the people at Grambling deserve to win. So I appreciate my administration for, you know, seeing my vision, what we want to do. But right now, just focus and finish. We hadn't finished. We got to finish games. If we finish games, that's 9 wins compared to 9 losses. That's 9 wins. But that shows you that we're right there. And I always say we're right there with other people's kids. You know, now this staff, this is our kids. This is our kids. These are the kids that we sat in the living room. These are the kids that we handpicked. Because when you come in year one and year two, you're still playing with people from the previous staff. You know, so we had to fix that problem. So now we got the kids in there that we picked, and now they understand what we want to do. And like I said, 62% of these guys been with us. You know, the coach has been the first staff that you had. Okay, we made some moves from there. The second staff, we didn't have to make any moves, but one of our guys went to Bowie and one of our guys went to SMU. So we have the majority of the staff back this year. So everything's going smooth. Just like the staff meeting this morning. It was really a lot to tell those guys because they've been here. You know, so they've been here. But right now we want to focus and we want to finish. We always want to tell them this. At the end of the day, we Grambling. We're going to get everybody the best shot. No matter what, we're going to get everybody the best shot. You know, we look at, we're the history of HBCU football. And then people say, oh, y'all cocky. No, we the history. Without Grambling, it wouldn't be no HBCU history. Who else they talk about when they talk about history? But that's who we say, PV. Tremaine doing a great job there. They're not the old PV. People got to stop saying they're the old PV. They're not. They're never going to be. As long as that guy sits there, they're never going to be. And my job right now is to get Grambling back to where we're supposed to be, and that's to the top. And we headed that way.
No doubt. And Coach, let me ask you this, man, about financial management for your guys. I know with getting rail share now and NIL, guys don't realize they're now 1099s now. So come out to teach your guys about financial literacy and understand that what little money they need to save it. It's not just something you just can blow through and it's done. You really gotta save this money and cherish it because You're kind of an employee now because you're paying taxes on this money you're getting.
Yeah, well, you know, I tell them like this. This is not money to get rich money. This is life start money, where you start with, you get your life started. You know, you're looking at all those kids that's getting millions of dollars, guys buying this girl $20,000 worth of purses. I would have never did that if I was at his age. Well, I don't even know her like that. But he don't see the long story. But the only thing about that kid, he's the first round draft pick. So he going to blow that money. He going to blow it. But my kids, I tell them they got to take this money. They got to put this money away. They got to invest it, because I pay them like the NFL. I pay them during the season. I don't pay them in the offseason. Offseason, they got to live on a scholarship, because that now you want to see who's budgeting, who's not budgeting. And I tell them all the time, you can't send all this money back home, because you don't get enough to send all of it back home. Everybody at home got to work just like you working. And you got to hold everybody accountable. And if they calling you every month for money, you got to tell them, go get a job, because you don't have the money to give them. So we talk to our kids about that. We bring Origin Bank in. We bring Chase Bank in to speak to them about putting their money in the way and investing their money. And most of our kids do a good job of that, because I think we have a good system. I don't feel like I should pay you in the off season, because you can tell me, kiss my behind. I ain't working out, but you got my money. And you know how hard it is to take these kids to court and get that money back? Like, they're talking about this one school owes these kids these buyouts. Man, they ain't never getting that money back from them kids.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't never getting that money back from the kid. You do well to drop that. I mean, it wasn't a solid move when they made the move. So guess what? Ain't no honor among thieves.
No doubt, Coach. You got that right, Coach. I got two more for you, Coach. And for you, Coach, I got a question for my interns here. I got two interns here with me. One of them wants to ask you, Coach, what is the most enjoyable part about your job that does not involve the football piece?
Just getting to know my players outside of football. You know, hearing their struggles and the academic part, seeing them graduate, because at the end of the day, I know we talk about shared revenue. Nobody's talking about graduating anymore. And that's what's going to help our little black boys. I always tell them like that. And for the white kids also. But for the black boys, the black young men that go to school here at HBCUs, keep your head in your books. Get your degree. And that's what I enjoy watching them graduate. I go to all their graduations. And I smile when I go in there, because I know that I wasn't the best student at Nebraska. You know, I know I wasn't, but I tell them my stories, and I say, I'm not going to let you go down the same path. So watching them graduate and watching them after they done, some of them that become better fathers are the ones whose fathers here that we get them, and they're a little shaky because they're 19 years old and they got a 2-year-old, you know, so they're a little shaky, but they depend on you to help them to be the father that they can be. And that's the things I enjoy with them outside of football. But you know what? They put so much emphasis on football right now that you forget about that they're human beings. And at the end of the day, football is going to be gone. So it's going to be the lessons I taught them outside of football. You know, hey, you need to be there for your kid. I wasn't there for my kid because I was working. You know, you need to be there for your kids. So things of that sort, that's one of the big things is seeing them prosper outside the building as outside of football and graduation.
That's one they got for you, Coach, is this one that she wants to know, Coach. Because Coach Joseph, if you wasn't in a football coach, what would your career path be?
If I wasn't a football coach, what would I be? Oh, shoot, I'd be a rapper. That's all I need is a beat. Because these dudes can't rap. I'll be a rapper. Just give me a beat and I'll say the same thing over and over again. You know? I would hope I would be a rapper, but you know what? That's a hard career right there. You know? But if I wasn't coaching, I'd probably be just working somewhere down in the city of New Orleans, having a good time. You know, having a good time. Might own a couple of properties, something like that. But I wouldn't be doing too much blue collar stuff, I'll tell you that much.
I hear that, Coach. I see you got on the Marlins hat. I got on the Braves hat. So we division rivals, NFC, AFC,
hey,
NL
East,
man.
No. I got this because I need a haircut.
Oh, okay. I thought you were a Marlins fan.
I'm a Miami fan because my boy Kaz and Cristobal and D-Train's there on that staff, so I'm good with them. But like I said, I was in Atlanta for the NFL symposium with Shaq and Doug, and it was real nice. And Atlanta's a big time city, during that time, y'all had the World Cup. So I was one of all these foreigners. I was like, what are all these foreigners doing in Atlanta? But it was the World Cup going on. So Atlanta's a beautiful city, man. It's a great city. And, you know, I'm hoping one day that we can move a game there and play Clark there or play one of the Atlanta schools there in Atlanta, because we have a big fan base out there. And I think that even without the Grambling fan base, I think we still can pack the stadium because people want to see good HBCU football. And you don't see a whole bunch of it that just want to come to Atlanta and play a game in Atlanta every year. And I'm trying to say, can we do a MEAC SWAC challenge? You need to get on top of that. Well, you play a MEAC SWAC game at 3 and come back and play another one at 7 and get them in an old Mercedes soup, that dome over there. But, you know, you got to be creative when you're HBCU. We got to figure out how to make money, because one thing about our fans, they're going to find our games. And we learned that from ESPN Plus, that the HBCU football is big. They just don't put us on a big stage. But they knew if they put us on a big stage, we're gonna have bigger crowd base than the MAC, for sure. You know that we're gonna have more people. We might have more people than the Sun Belt, for sure. You know, so they need to let us roll. They need to put us on ESPN and stop putting us on Plus, so they can see we play good football. We play good football in the SWAC, and we have people that come out, and we appreciate our fans and everybody that support HBCU football, because it's real. It's real football. It's great football. We got great coaches. We got great players. We got good administrations, you know. But the thing about it, some people sleep on us, and we can't help that. But we appreciate everything that we have, and my thing is with Grambling, either you're with us or you're against us. So if you're with us, you're with us. If you're not, you're not. You know, we bless you, you know.
No doubt, Coach Joseph. Hopefully we'll see your Celebration Bowl in December after a great year. Hopefully you can play this year, Celebration Bowl, hopefully.
And you know you get the first interview soon I touch down.
Hey, I'll be right in the hotel seeing you throw me, brother. I'm the right way.
I know you will. I know you will. The right side of the army, not the front part, not the back part.
No doubt. Hey, Coach, thank you for your time as always, brother. Have a great year, man. I'll talk to you real soon.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Anytime, Coach.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King, Get The King Out at 105theking.com, and the Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's the Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.